This is Hijinks Ensue Geek Podcast. Bandwidth for Hijinks Ensue provided by Infinistorm. Check out infinistorm.com/hijinks.
This is not the future we were promised.
Hijinks Ensue Podcast, this is episode 64. Super Podcast 64. Last one of the year. Here in Hijinks Annex Southeast.
Sure.
Josh's apartment.
It's like Compton.
Hell yeah, bitches.
Compton. Yes, it's just like Compton. It's just like a semi-high-rise... six-month-old condo in Compton.
They have those.
For about, what, sure. $1,600 a month?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And so, this being the final podcast of the year, we're going to talk about things. And one of those things is going to be the Avatar film.
The Avatar?
Mm-hmm. And
Avatars. On the picture film.
We're also going to go, just keep it kind of loose, but we'll also dip into the twit sack at some point and see what questions might have been posted by the listeners to the twit sack. We're also Ustreaming again for the first time in forever because Josh has internet that works.
Yes.
Which is really weird.
18 megabits of it.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Your crappy Xbox webcam actually looks like something is happening over this internet. Whereas at my house, it'd be like 6 pixels fighting for the screen.
Are you actually watching it live?
No, I watched a bit of it. I've got it paused here so I can see that, you know.
No, just let it go. You're not going to hurt anything.
So the back of my head looks nice. Yeah, I probably... Actually, it would cost me too much computer brains to watch that and record all this at the same time, but whatever. And then we're going to try and do a post show this time without deleting it accidentally. And for the post show... I've gotten together several lists. People have been going list crazy, being not only the end of the year, but the end of the decade. So people are making, like, best movies of the decade, best comedies of the decade, best...
Were we supposed to prepare something
for
this?
Got some balls of the decade. No, I got it all. I did all the homework. Oh, okay. We're just going to talk about it and see if these people are right about what they think.
Oh, we're going to make fun of other people's top 10 list.
The best of the decade.
Hey, Scott's in the chat room, who works at Ustream. Are we okay? Do we work on iPhones now? I know that has to be enabled by somebody, either you or me. I have no idea.
Why would... What? Science.
Oh, you can watch this live via Ustream?
Yeah, but either Ustream has to approve it or I have to submit it or something.
I think Yudri left.
Oh, he's already gone.
Yeah.
The other thing that they just came out with like last week is you can now broadcast live from an iPhone to Ustream.
Yeah, I saw that.
We should try that. What I really want to do is I want to have like 3 iPhones log in to Ustream at once and like just point it right at your face. And then I want to mix that down on the final video.
Right.
That's impossible, but that would be really cool.
Actually, that sounds really similar to the tech that James Cameron used to make Avatar. It's pretty close.
Just iPhones? Oh, yeah, that's cool. I didn't know the whole thing was iPhones.
Yeah. Did you see they put Unreal on the iPhone?
Oh, God.
I saw that. Unreal 3.
Yeah. That probably runs better than a PS3.
It probably
does.
That's
my guess.
If this is as good as a Dreamcast...
It's actually a little better than a Dreamcast, right?
No, it's about equivalent.
I think it's comparable.
Well, what is the first one was 700 megahertz, so what's this one? Almost a gigahertz?
I don't know. That's numbers.
Okay.
Well,
that's actually how megahertz. This stuff works. So that's how you determine if it's as good as a Dreamcast.
Right.
If it doesn't have Crazy Taxi, it's not as good as a Dreamcast.
Let's make some crazy money.
I can put on some music.
No, it's okay.
So you just put that on your iPhone and then drive your car insane.
And you keep trying to pick people up.
Come on in, hobo man.
Trying to kidnap me and my baby.
Hey, man, I got to deliver these pizzas.
Well, get in. Let's make crazy money.
Let's
cancel the show and I'll get a Dreamcast and we can play that.
There's one at my house. I could have brought it.
Why didn't you?
Why don't I just bring it with me everywhere?
Yeah. How did you not know this was
going to
happen?
We're going to Ustream that.
Yeah.
There's worse things happening on the internet than that right now. So let's go ahead and talk about the Avatar until we get tired of that.
You didn't even see it.
Especially since Eli didn't see it. I can't wait for his opinions that are wrong.
Be good.
I wish I had Alex here.
Why?
Because Eli is going to believe that Alex didn't really like it. He thought it was pretty, but he's claiming he hated it or something. And Eli wants to believe that.
Right.
Because he's a grumpus.
Right. Grumpus?
Yeah, he's a fucking grumpus.
Okay, well,
He's a Christmas grumpus.
Let's get to what we were going to talk about. Because the 30 minutes that we got to see...
16, but sure.
Whatever. The little bit that we got to see...
Yeah, a couple of months ago, we got to go to a sneak preview and watch 16 minutes of the film.
I walked out of that going, meh.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so did I.
And somehow, we're going to try and figure this out. We're trying to get to the bottom of this.
Oh, I know exactly why and how all of that worked.
Why that preview in no way got me all that excited or anywhere near as excited as the actual film. And it didn't seem to deliver the same visual experience. Or, I don't know, it seemed to miss the beats that the film delivered on. Like... I didn't get any sense of the story. I almost felt like it was a tech demo.
Yeah, felt like a game demo.
It did, right?
Walking out of that, I thought it was cool, but I was like, it'll be a fun game to play. But at no point was I like, oh man, I can't wait for that to come out.
Yeah, the game's not that great, really.
Well, but...
Oh yeah, they made a game, right?
Yeah, they did.
Have you played it?
Saying,
a little bit.
A little bit.
Not, I don't know.
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
It looked like, was it a...
Okay.
All right, so what's your theory, Josh?
Here's what actually happened.
Final Fantasy movie?
Because, similar to the Final Fantasy movie...
That's what it looked like to me.
It's an entirely made-up world. Every inch of it is impossible, like, physically in the real world. Mm-hmm. So, in the case of the trailer, and even the 16-minute preview, so many weird things hit you all at once
that
you're overwhelmed by
There's
it
no
in
lube.
Your brain.
There's no lube.
Right. Like, it was a visual rape. Okay.
You're not eased into it.
And that's it in its entirety, because the movie
crosses you over with people. You get just people, then you get people on the planet.
Well, no, you get people in spaceships, which were already kind of cool.
Okay. Then you get people on the planet, then you get people and blue cat people, and then you get just blue cat people.
Right. But the thing is that...
There's a process.
And even the entire world is made up. There's a whole... biological circle of life thing going on.
It's so
which
lush.
Is like here's what makes it different from Star Wars. Star Wars had a couple of animals that were like, hey, it's totally crazy and I'm gonna eat the bigger fish, like that bullshit.
Sure.
Like all of the wildlife they show in the movie, like,
oh, it fits.
They
so
actually
well.
All of you can see this, like the ecology, like all makes sense, and all the weird
you can
wacky
see the common evolution between the species,
right? The thing is that all of it ties together, and they introduce all of these aspects one at a time over the course of the, like, 8 hours.
So whereas we saw 2 minutes here and 4 minutes from the end and 6 minutes from the middle, and, yeah, it just doesn't prepare you. But I have to say, the 3D was different, because we're going to talk about that at length. You mentioned, though, you started singing Elton John. We made very few comments during this movie, very few comments, because my wife and myself were both very, very enthralled in the movie. But at one point, there is actually a... There's a scene where the two main blue cat people are kissing under a iridescent tree that looks like rope light, and I was thinking that too. She could have gone two ways. There's two things that would have been acceptable, but she did. She chose probably would have been my B choice, but it still worked. She leaned over and went, "Can you feel the love tonight?" That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was.
She also could have gone with "Kiss the Girl."
Yeah,
and that would have been more appropriate. Whoa. Because of the weeping willow.
Something. I'm gonna miss the girl.
Twister tits or something like that. So,
but yeah, that was actually. I think it's interesting you said rope light, because I was like, that's like a fucking Target special.
Yeah, it
like,
was.
What?
But it looked good.
Well, it was CG Target special. I like rope somebody light. Had to make that.
Yeah.
And there was another point where she looked over me and said something like, "I just." And I realized the same thing probably at the same time that she said it was you kind of just completely at some point take for granted that everything is real. And then it kind of hits you in the head that you've been watching for 45 minutes and there's been nothing actual on the screen at all.
Yeah.
Like for a good middle third of the movie, you know, there isn't a physical item on the screen at all. And that's happened before. I mean, you know, Lord of the Rings was a lot like that, but for some reason this was different.
I don't think Lord of the Rings ever went quite that far. They had a couple of, like, oh, here's a quick effect shot that's completely fake, but...
And there were a lot of miniatures used as well.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings was...
And real costumes, too.
Tons of miniatures, tons of extras. I think there were probably 15 people cast in this movie.
Like, see, here's my thing as far as maybe why I'm not...
I want to couch this with the fact that you haven't seen it, so your opinion is does not matter.
It's wrong.
Right.
Okay, go on.
The
go
reason
ahead.
Why I have no interest thus far...
You have the floor.
...is because, much like in Lord of the Rings, they showed me something that got me fired up about it, like, I don't know, hordes of people charging at each other or something... That really wanted me because it can't be all visual for me. Because if it's only visual...
It's not.
It's not.
And this is where I really
okay,
take issue.
So the because, I don't know, this looks like there's... And I'm gonna have to see it, but I'm not going to see it like tomorrow or anything. But
you need to see it before it's out of 3D. Before we talk about visual versus story, let's
just
talk...
So you're saying that if it's not in 3D, it's not that great?
No, I'm saying you will be missing... Blu-ray, no, I'm saying you'll be missing something very special... That you will not get another chance to experience.
Right.
Regardless, I will say this. Even if the story sucked, which a lot of people are saying it does, I disagree. Even if it sucked, it's worth it for that 3D experience. It's worth your $12 for the most enthralling, engrossing 3D experience. I have been a staunch opponent of 3D in the movie theaters since Hollywood started playing with it, you know, 2 years ago or so. I've always found it very distracting, very forced, gives me a headache.
Yeah, I don't like the big giant glasses that don't fit over my glasses very well. It's uncomfortable.
Go to the IMAX then. Their glasses are more than large enough to fit over yours. Regular ones at Cinemark.
There's a lot of hassles, I guess, in my mind that it just doesn't justify the extra money or the uncomfortableness of like...
But here's the deal.
What they're having to
So we're in the same like boat that. There because I feel the same way. The glasses over the glasses suck. It makes me – it always seems like the movie is slightly fuzzy. And I'm like, I'd rather see a crisp digital movie flat than a slightly fuzzy movie where something bounces out at me every time. But this is the difference. This is the very first 3D movie I've seen, and I would assume ever, where the 3D almost never comes out of the screen. It goes deeper into the screen. So you really feel like the movie theater screen is a window through which you are watching real things happen. Because in the real world, if you're looking through a window, shit's not flying at your face and going past your head all the time. So it really,
okay.
The depth is there. The depth is very perceptible. It's very, it took me about, I'd say 5-6 minutes to completely forget the movie was in 3D. And just feel like it was just real. I don't know.
Right. It was very unusual because every once in a while you blink funny and you kind of pull yourself out of the movie and like you suddenly realize that everything is like weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch like another 5 minutes and then you're like right back into I might as well just be sitting on the set watching people do things. It's
and
very strange.
The non-existent set. And here's the other thing that I said this the first time when we saw that preview. This was either on my podcast. Or in one of my posts, I said, something about my brain is refusing to believe that these blue cat people are real.
Right.
Because I know that, A, blue cat people don't exist.
Right.
People are not 10 feet tall.
Right.
And their anatomy is wrong. Their necks are too long. And I'm just not believing it. I don't know what happened between now and then.
It's all about the buildup.
That never that was gone in this. I accepted immediately that these were not CG characters. They might as well have been actors in makeup. There were very few scenes where I'm like, oh, that doesn't look quite real. There's one scene that's in the previews where Neytiri the first time she jumps to save Jake.
Yeah, that looks like
she does
slow
a slow mo
thing.
Kind of a bullet time.
Yeah,
and to me that jump feels looks really very fake. It looked very 300. You know,
yeah,
like that big jump with the spear, where it's like that was just impossible. And to me, and then later they're like, oh, but there's lower gravity. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe.
Right.
Maybe, maybe not. That might have been the only scene where I thought the Na'vi movement looked artificial. Everything else, I'm like, yeah, those are real blue cat people.
What's really interesting about that, the only scenes that stood out is not quite right, where there's a handful of times where the movie goes into slow motion to show something that's happening. Most of the time, it's like, we need to be very careful that you see this one little tiny thing happen so you understand what's going on.
Right.
And because it's all virtual, they don't have to play by the same rules that a real camera does whenever we have to go into 3D, into slow motion. And so whenever it's ramping in and out of slow motion and like the film quality is completely flawless the whole way through, your brain has trouble. Like your brain says that this was not possible to film. And that's why you kind of like get
there
is, out
there's
of
some cognitive disconnect.
Yeah.
In some places. But I would say less so in this movie than any other 3D or any other CG for that matter.
The only other movie that approaches this, I think, was
District 9. Yeah.
And they had an easier time because they didn't try to make any of those things look
like humans.
Humans.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was the thing we realized after District 9 was that because they were bug people, you're not trying to superimpose human qualities on top of them. So you just immediately accept that they're 10-foot tall bugs.
Right.
But in this, because of the way they did the facial capture, instead of using points of reference, they did that iridescent spray paint on the face thing, and so they captured the entire face.
Well, they wore a helmet with a camera hanging off of it.
Right.
They had a camera pointed at their face the entire time.
Right.
Which is where they got all that data from.
But, yeah, so instead of doing dots on the face and capturing, you know, 5 points on the cheek and 2 points on the forehead and eye blinks, it was literally their entire face. The very first time that became super evident to me, and this was actually in the preview too, was when Jake Sully and Neytiri first meet, and she's super pissed off at him. She's like, "You're like a baby. You're like a baby crying and screaming. You don't know anything." And
Jamaica man,
yeah. But
without that,
the anger and the frustration in her face was so human.
Yeah,
that you're like, "Holy shit! What's like that?" Actually, took me out for a second. Because it was so realistic, and I was not expecting it to be.
Right.
And her hand movements, like, here, this is what I liked. In the traditional 3D world, an animator is going to animate the head and the face in the talking, and then either that same animator or someone else is going to come in and animate the body.
As a
separate time, yeah. And and because they didn't do that, Their movements were so very in tune with their facial expressions.
It was like
their
watching an Italian talk. Like the hands, the hands matter.
Or a Jew. Yes, exactly.
Hey,
no.
Hey,
we're freaking cat people over here. Hey, what are you doing to a rainforest? Ow!
Breaking kneecaps.
They come out instead of spears, they've got pipes. We're here to bulldoze down your sacred trees. Hey, get a load of this pipe. Look at this Jamook over here trying to bulldoze my tree over here.
This guy busting beans over here.
Sully, look at this non-blue cat person trying to bust my balls over here.
I wonder if there's parts of the planet that are actually like that.
Probably.
Well, yeah, we didn't see the whole planet.
Well, but they showed a bunch of different tribes that had little
subtle nuances.
Yeah.
It was actually, despite the fact that the entire movie is an American Indian allegory,
right?
They actually did with the different tribes. They were like, our culture is based on horse riding, and our culture is based on, you know, wind creature riding.
They lived in the trees, so they had the flying creatures.
Yeah.
So minus the visuals, story-wise.
So
summation, best 3D ever. Even if you want to hate it, go see it in 3D because you've never seen anything like this before. Story-wise, and I'm going to base this on the few reviews that I've glanced and the just unexpected backlash in the comments from yesterday's comic. I don't know if everyone that commented saw the movie or is just going on the hype, but the hype is, it's the most beautiful movie ever, story's bullshit. And I'm like, what the fuck? What? I really enjoyed the story. No, it wasn't Shakespeare.
No.
It wasn't a Scorsese film, but it was... It was a really good story. Well, okay, then
it's a well-known story. Like,
maybe it's because you're too familiar with the subject matter.
I think it's Titanic? What it is. What? No.
No?
No, it's Dances with Wolves. Like, everybody already knew that going in. But like,
it's Dances with Wolves.
There's no such thing as an
aliens.
Original story.
Like, right. I mean,
the thing is that it's a story
Star
you know.
Wars. Star Wars has a terrible story.
But it's okay. It's executed.
And so is this.
Yes.
Executed as well.
And that's what I was
Avatar
gonna
ask. Has a very familiar story. And about halfway through the movie, if you haven't already put all of the pieces together and know exactly how it's going
moron.
To end, you're an idiot. It's an extremely well-known story. Okay.
But the thing they is even, that they
it's
even,
told very honestly.
Yeah.
And like the actors portraying all the people, it feels very honest. Which is what was weird. Like,
I
the
think
entire tribal
very
culture
human.
Was fantastic.
I think it feels very human. Like, for instance, if people are going, well, that wasn't complicated enough. Well, you know what? People aren't that fucking complicated. Which is why we tell the same stories over and over for tens of thousands of years. Because we have shared experiences. So if you're going into this and going, I figured this out. Well, then great. You're not an idiot. I mean, you know, if you can't figure out, other than the fact that, I don't want to give anything away, but if you can't figure this movie out completely, you're a fucking idiot. But if you don't enjoy it, then you're too cynical.
Right.
And coming from me, that's ridiculous. Yeah. So I mean,
the only people I know that made fun of the story were people that went into it being cynical from the start.
Yeah.
But even then, like, cuz I saw it again last night with a bunch of the guys from Gearbox, and the majority review from, we had about 15 people there, were like, holy shit, that was incredible. Like, I loved it. Like, no problems.
Not only was the story great, but I really, really wanted more as soon as I walked out of the theater.
Oh, yeah. No, I want to go back to that world, and I just want to explore it.
The narrative was deep enough, and there were enough little cock teases of information that I found myself with just tons of questions afterwards. Like, this is maybe a mild spoiler. So mild spoiler alert for Avatar. If you don't want anything at all spoiled, stop listening. Come back in about 20 minutes. We'll probably be done. But in my opinion, to get to Pandora, they make it clear that it's a 6-year cryosleep trip. You're getting the impression that Earth has not developed anything special as far as travel from world to world, probably pretty damn fast. They mentioned it was across the light years, so we've got to be pretty goddamn fast. But especially if it's only 6 years, I mean, you know, if they definitely weren't saying they had warp travel, but it had to be a lot faster than we have now. But it's a 6-year rotation, so it takes 6 years to get there. You work for 6 years, and then you go home for 6 years. And in the two trips, you're not aging because you're frozen. But while all the shit on the planet is happening, people are in transit both ways.
Right.
I want to know what happens when the next supply ship shows up. Because, spoilers, the good guys win. I'm sorry, okay? The fucking good guys win. Take that to mean whatever you want to. So the good guys win, and eventually more bad guys are going to be showing up. So there are going to be... Cameron just said he wants to do three if he gets to. He wants to do three. They're going to have to deal with... Earth is not just going to give up on...
Well, no.
That.
Well, the thing is, you know they're going to double down on that shit.
But...
And, I mean, they're gonna fucking nuke it from orbit.
That was the first thing I thought was, this is basically...
Like, yes.
You know that if we had seen Alien...
Sure.
If we had seen Aliens from the Xenomorph's perspective, it is Avatar.
Yeah, you're probably right.
They're like, God damn, what are all these fucking space marines doing here?
We were here.
Let's kind of put babies in their chests so they go home.
Flag down. We're this ours.
Damn it.
Like, we were here.
Well, I mean, really, it's like, if aliens are people, and then the people are cows, and then cows show up and are like, you expected us not to eat you?
Seriously, I need...
America.
I need a version of Aliens with a human-alien love story. Like, they start making out, and his face just starts melting.
No,
like,
that happened in Alien Resurrection.
Oh, God, don't talk about that.
Yeah, you remember that?
Don't talk about
that. Yeah, it was good. It's very French.
She's a beautiful butterfly. I'm going to say that I probably will enjoy this because I have very, very low expectations.
It's fine to go into it with low expectations.
And then I think that's probably that's part of the reason why I haven't seen it, because I have no expectation.
A lot of people took what I said on my post the wrong way, is for me saying, They're getting very defensive and saying, no, the visual experience doesn't make up for the shitty story. I'm like, okay, A, it doesn't have a shitty story. B, I never said that. What I was trying to communicate was, even if you get nothing else out of it, if you're a fan of filmmaking, go see this. One of the readers said this very acutely, I think. Even though he did not like the movie, did not like the story, he says, but I think we just saw something akin to the shift from black and white to color.
Right. Coming out of the movie, I felt like this is probably for our generation what people seeing The Wizard of Oz for the first time
right.
were. And even then, like, because back then, like, it would be like, oh, it was incredible, but it'll never catch on. It's too expensive. And at some point, like, I'm assuming 30 years from now, like, why aren't you filming in 3D? Everyone's filming in 3D.
I don't know about that. Like, I think that's a different conversation.
No. You need to see this, because this is not 3D. Like, I'm so distracted. Sure, shit's flying at me. It's like, again, it's like just looking into a room through a hallway and seeing real things. If TV, here's the one thing they have to figure out, and this may not be possible. If they need to get this shit working without glasses. Because I'm not going to watch TV for the rest of my life wearing polarized glasses.
No.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. There are other movies that are fantastic that don't need, like, Children of Men.
Right.
Is a great movie because the place they put you, the story that they're telling is awesome.
Yeah.
Why do I need 3D for that?
You don't. Here's the thing, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
if they had done that movie with Cameron's 3D tech, it wouldn't have been an issue of what can we throw at the screen to make use of this.
Right.
It's a deeper and more real. I swear to God, and Josh kept saying this, and I feel the exact same way. It was less like watching a movie and more like being somewhere. And I think every good film could benefit from that. Every film with any concern for how it looks. Like, you don't want to see fucking Marley and Me in 3D.
Well, but if that's what we're moving towards, then don't we have to account for that? Because
no, because not everything's shot digital.
What about
now?
Little Miss Sunshine? Like, right. Great movie, good story, but I mean,
it wouldn't have lost anything in 3D.
Wait. Little Miss Sunshine would not have lost anything in black and white either.
That's true, because that's
the exact point. Because it's not
indie
about
films won't be able to afford this for 20 years.
No, but 20 years from now, indie films will be able to afford it.
Right.
And it'll
if it
be like
mainstream.
Hey, here's a video camera. Like, here's pro equipment, and it's going to come with like the dual lens.
Yeah, 30 years from now, our fucking iPhones are going to take 3D videos.
Right.
And I can accept that if it becomes standard practice. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, it's just how
I really
it now.
Feel like right. It's a shame that they have to call it 3D, because what they've done is something very, very different.
It's than HD 3D experience.
To this point. I would
it's
say
a
it's
high
the
ne- definition experience.
I think you're correct. I would say it's the next evolution of high def. I don't think it's 3D. 3D has been, and in my opinion, always will be a gimmick. Even in Up, it's distracting.
Yeah, I hate. I really wish I had seen Up. Just
I will not see another Pixar movie in 3D. I find it really distracting.
Well, I just want to add one thing real quick. There was another use of 3D recently, which was, at the last Cowboy football game at their mega stadium.
Oh my God, I read about that.
They showed whatever happened, because they were actually promoing Avatar.
They made a huge fucking stink that they've got the biggest high def screen in the world. Not only that, but they have two of them.
And they were going to show Avatar or clips of Avatar during the halftime show.
They were going to show all of the game footage in 3D.
No. They only were going to do that for a portion of the game.
Oh God! Well, anyway, like when they did bullet time during the Super Bowl.
Anyway, they gave you glasses, and no one put them on.
Well, no. It's awesome. This is from somebody who was there. I wasn't there, but somebody who was there was saying they watched like Avatar and were like, "Oh wow!" Like the experience is kind of lost because we're not in a theater.
I'm 600 feet away.
Yeah, it's like
you're in a noisy fucking environment.
Exactly. So that kind of failed, and then they only played about.
I read 7 minutes.
I read
7 minutes, and then people were booing and throwing.
Yeah, they played 5 minutes of the third quarter in 3D, and there was a large
on the
roar,
Jumbotron.
There was a large roar of applause
on the largest HG Jumbotron ever.
There was a large applause when they turned it off. People were so upset and throwing things. Yeah.
Yeah. What like I read is that because they gave you glasses and nobody wanted to wear them or gave a shit or even carry them to their seats, they basically got an out of focus video.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so they were like, what the fuck is she?
Yeah. And on top of the fact that it was like one of the most important games that Dallas had all year, that it was one of their more important games they've had all year. And fucking people were like so pissed. And then they lost on top of that. So
fantastic.
Like fucking, I'm surprised that the streets didn't fucking riot afterwards.
That is something that would happen in Dallas.
Was that our 30 minute alarm?
That's our 30 minutes.
Okay.
Are you going to?
Yeah, I'm going to pause and record.
We'll be right back.
And save. We'll still be broadcasting.
When we're back.
So, what were we talking about before I hit pause?
Oh, we just wrapped up the 3D talk.
Okay. You know, you were saying, like, what movies would benefit from it? For instance.
Oh, are we going?
We're back on, yeah.
Oh.
For instance, District 9, since we already talked about that, would have really benefited from this technology.
Yeah.
Have you seen, I watched a thing about
diplomatic immunity.
The different 3D camera technologies that we have right now. And the best ones that we have are actually kind of bullshit hacked together.
Yeah.
You're like, all the stuff that Cameron made? Or
No. His shit's in its own league. But, like, for instance, there's a company that'll take two of Sony's high-end prosumer digital cams that, you know, people buy. I mean, they're 50, 60 grand, and people buy them to shoot movies with. They're good enough to make a Hollywood movie, but they're not, you know, Panavision quality, whatever.
Right.
They take two of those, take their shells off, marry them together, then get two Mac Minis. They build a box around it, slap two Mac Minis in the box to make the cameras talk to each other, and then rig up two off-the-shelf LCD monitors on the side.
Wow.
So you can see what it's, you know, shooting. And then they sell that for, you know, 300 grand or whatever.
Wow.
And that's standard right now. Like that,
it's the easiest and best way to do it.
Right. It's crazy.
It's a very light camera, and it's very
And by light, about it, it is probably foot and a half, 2 feet wide, maybe.
But
it does fit on a Steadicam. The other one they had that also fits on a Steadicam uses two pro quality, like super pro quality, digital filmish cameras. But they're so fucking huge that one of them is facing forward and the other one is perpendicular facing down with a mirror under it. And it's got a box all the way around it. And that also fits on a Steadicam, but it's like the size of a fucking, I don't know. It's like the size of like a
sousaphone.
It's like two 486 computers stacked on top of each other at perpendicular angles. Like it's crazy how
it's
big.
Carrying around a Commodore 64.
Yeah, two of them. And that's like what we've got right now. And there's better stuff, but that's like the affordable stuff.
I still want to actually see the cameras that Cameron put together.
You know, I'm not one for like giving a shit about the other DVD whenever movies come out, but I want to see the whole documentary making of Avatar, like the whole thing. I looked
up as much of it as I could find.
He did the thing you talked about with the cameras. The other thing they did was to give them perspective. They actually acted, of course, on a green screen, but each actor had a screen to look at that gave them a mock-up, a rough mock-up of the digital environment and the perspective as if they were 10 feet tall.
Right.
To help them act. That was awesome. And that's the thing that Lucas could never do.
Well, the thing is that Cameron knew where all those areas were before the movie started, and Lucas didn't figure any of that shit out until in post.
Right. And I think that fundamental breakdown of just philosophy of how movies should be made. Lucas had such a technology boner. Oh, I've waited so long. I've waited 20 years and now the technology can do anything. Yeah, I'm so happy that he didn't even try to make a movie.
Right.
He just made the longest, most expensive tech demo ever.
To give Lucas any credit, but Cameron did do this right in the sense, like, because didn't he write the script like
12 years ago? Yeah. He's been mapping this out for over a decade.
But as far as like how to perform and execute on this, he did take from everybody who has failed up to this point.
Right.
And no, looked at true. Looked at like, what everyone did do wrong? Because he is right. Like, Lucas had a vision which most and a lot of places that do 3D, I mean, even in games, even like once you've executed on it, after the fact you start to realize, oh, we should have thought about this or A, B, and C. And it's kinda like in the movie world, it's in post and you're like, fuck. Like, how do we deal with that? Like, we should have thought about that ahead of time.
Whereas Lucas just shot shit
with
the intention of fixing everything. It. Not only fixing, but directing the film in post.
Right. Well, it's interesting that you say that. I mean, as far as not directing necessarily, but actually filming the film in post, the way that performance capture worked, where...
The first time I watched the behind the scenes on the prequels... Before I was fully invested in what had actually happened to me, I was still excited about more Star Wars, I guess. The first time I watched him, there's a scene where Captain Ticonderoga, or whatever his name was, Captain Typhoid Mary.
Panaka.
Banaka. Isn't there like a Captain Typho or something?
I don't
know. Susan Tanaka?
It's the black guy. So the black guy
right. And
Obi-Wan and one of the Anakins. Or maybe Padme, somebody. They're in a shuttle. They're in the Naboo ship.
That silver.
Yeah, the fucking thing. Dildo, the space dildo. Yep. So,
right.
They're in the space dildo, and he's sitting there watching everyone act horribly, and he goes, "Man, you know, Ewan really nailed it on this take, but Captain Banaka over here, he sucked a big one." So they go and they cut out Black Captain. And go find him from take 64 that Lucas liked better and stick him in the scene with everyone else.
Right.
And I'm like, well, you cocksucker. We can tell. We don't know what you did.
But we know it's not right.
But we know, yeah. Well,
they're not reacting to each other.
Right. And when you come back to me and say, oh, they weren't even in the same room when this happened, I'm like, well, goddammit, that makes sense. Because everything is terrible. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the whole Anakin Padme, I love you, love, you're my love, I have robot love for you, I'm a toaster with love for my brain inside your robot penis, and... I am a wooden boy, and someday I will be Pinocchio and Magic Blue Fairy. And then I wouldn't be surprised if that was filmed 6 months apart. Like, you know, those two non-performances.
Right. Like, they couldn't get their schedules together or something.
Perhaps they never met. Perhaps they are still strangers.
Wow.
They're like, I'm sorry, do I know you?
Like, Hayden and Natalie Portman have never met.
I would not be surprised.
That would be awesome.
I would also not be surprised if that's just Keira Knightley. Instead of Natalie Portman.
Yeah. Well, they her face was CG the whole time.
Oh, okay.
Like they made her made Kira's lips slightly smaller, and that's how you know it's Natalie.
Wait, anyway, back to the original point.
Oh, I'm
like,
sorry. Go ahead.
Cameron did take. I mean, and it wasn't just Star Wars. Like, you look at anything else that was
anything
used,
Robert Zemeckis did with
anything at large volume, CG work that we've seen and
like
we've noticed.
The Beowulf movie.
Right.
No, that's
anything we've
resting
seen
at the turd bowl of the uncanny valley. That's unwatchable.
Yeah, I haven't even made an effort. Like, I haven't even, like, you know.
Well, because Cameron, I found an interview on, like, Popular Science or something. It was just Cameron talking for 20 minutes, just a video of him. And he references Beowulf a lot where, like, they got the human motions down really well, but everyone still had doll faces.
Yeah.
That was just really disturbing.
Yeah.
Which is why he went the route of, like, I want a camera hanging off this person's face, and every single second they're ever doing anything, we're getting full footage of all of it.
Right.
And it was really interesting that for every main CG character in the movie, it wasn't about the animation necessarily.
I didn't
it was
even
about,
regard it as animation.
Well, it was
honestly.
About well, right, because actually, it turns out it's not. The most important part and like the hardest part for them to get right was the actual. Eli will understand this more than you will, but the actual facial.
I'm
kind
of stupid, actually.
Right, you are. The facial rig, much like all the work that you know Valve did for Half-Life 2, like, and they have you know, they had like 40 bones in the face and Avatar had like 400.
Right.
That it took them 9 months to a year just to rig every single main character in that film.
Yeah, that's retarded.
But the thing was, by the time that they got the rig finished, they could feed in raw video from a take.
And it would just work.
And it would just work. So, like, they got the process to work so well that they didn't even need to touch it up.
I'll say this, too. I took a lot of shit. I don't normally, you know, I don't normally have, like, any sort of incendiary feedback whenever I post stuff. And I guess I just kind of spit out opinions every once in a while that people rubs them the wrong way. And I got a lot of shit in the comments for that comic about George Lucas versus, you know, James Cameron that, well, if Lucas hadn't done this, Cameron could have never... No. Okay, yes.
That's not true.
Well, whatever. But I'm not discrediting ILM's contribution to the world at large as far as technology. You know, they were like, well, Cameron, Lucas pushed Sony to create these new digital cameras, and they're now the standard. And I'm like, okay, great. That's awesome. He's got a tech boner and $11 billion. He's great. He's a horrible filmmaker. He is a terrible, terrible director and a worse writer. And that's what I'm talking about. What I was talking about is not that it seemed like Lucas had to assume the role of I am king of digital filmmaking, you know, and then Weta stepped in and we're like, hey, we're actually a little bit better than you, you know, but, the idea to me, I think for a lot of people was that, okay, yeah, but the more digital it is, the less real, the less emotion, the less feeling. There's no acting. You know, you're Watto's not going to get a fucking Oscar, okay?
I mean, yeah, but, you know, and that's the thing. You cannot blame ILM for the mistakes
and
Lucas made.
I don't. I wanted to make that very clear.
That needs to be very, very clear because you look at Pirates of the Caribbean, and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah,
that is
exactly.
Some fantastic work.
Yeah.
But that's because there's a direction and a vision, and they
that's
say, this
retarded.
Is what we want. And if Lucas is saying, this is what I want, that is on his shoulders.
Yeah, whereas with, let's say, the final battle, I saw some behind-the-scenes footage for the final battle of Episode 3. And so, Anakin, it basically, the only thing that Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen are focusing on is their choreography.
Right.
So they've got a big green platform, a green tube going across it to another green platform, and a big green pillar that was that thing that was constantly sinking into the lava they were fighting on. And they're basically just running their choreography as tight as they can. And it came out great. It's awesome. And they delivered some of the worst lines in all six movies during that scene. Visually, it was stunning. I mean, it was great.
Right. But it didn't mean anything.
Yeah. And you're so, forgive the pun, burned by it at the end.
Hey, the Italians are back.
Bada bee, bada boom over here. He lost his freaking legs.
Hey.
So, give him a fucking breathing mask over here. So, lost the will to live. Oh!
Hey, Johnny, check out this guy over here.
Look at this robot doctor over here. He lost the will to live.
Fucking spoons for hands.
Hey, she has a scapula hand. That's disgusting. That's for vaginas. Anyway.
He's gonna dig those babies out like ice cream.
I agree with what you're saying, because my counter to that, as far as like that last scene, the very opening scene of Attack of the Clones, I get it. You want this to be like a big World War II battle.
So, oh, you're talking about with the bomber thing?
Yeah. So here's the thing. The reason why he is not good at directing and whatnot is because he, instead of saying, I want it to feel like a big World War II battle that you would see over like Berlin, he literally said, I want sounds and I want things to look right out of World War II footage. But that breaks the illusion for us, because then we're like, wait a minute. Like, I can see all the things he's doing. We're not that stupid. Like, the planes literally, like, the ships in space literally going, like, they
well,
have,
shit,
like,
dude, he did that in Star Wars.
I know, but no, but that's the thing. It was,
I mean, he mirrored bomber gunner
but it was,
footage.
It was more subtle in the sense of, like, you didn't hear, like, I mean, they changed
the
sounds.
There was Nazis in the background for some reason.
They
all the stormtroopers are goose-stepping
now?
Yeah, he took... He obviously took things out of World War II into the first few movies, but the difference is like they were directed by other people. Like episode, I mean, people forget that. Like Empire Strikes Back, he didn't direct that.
No, Irvin Kershner made an excellent film.
And he, yeah,
because
he
fucking, Lucas had nothing to do with it.
He blew that. He blew that away because he executed on what he was trying to story tell. But instead, Lucas is like, "Oh well, I mean, I mean, and I know this is just like making him look like whatever, but he literally can't storytell. So he's like, no, I want it to sound." And look exactly like particular things.
He's a nerd playing with the most expensive toys in the world, and he wants his toys to be pristine and perfect. And you have to give him credit for sound design and for, you know, vehicle design and vehicles looking cool and badass and all that.
Sure.
You walk out of every one of those movies almost like you just found out a pet died because there's so little emotion, so little character to love or hate, honestly.
Well, really,
didn't he manage to turn the Emperor from the most feared, just demonic, evil badass in the galaxy
into this, a like, fucking politician?
Yeah, this fucking, like,
just a fucking slimy.
He's like, he's like Cheney in a hood, and then eventually he's like, "Don't kill me, no, Anakin, please, don't let him kill me, I'm lightning." And like,
thanks for that, that's great.
And then he took Darth Vader from the just imposing badass, just evil to the core. Just a
fucking whiny bitch.
I'm a giant motherfucker, and I got the Force. Yeah, to like this teenage bitch that's like in the dark. I think the worst thing they did was put him in the Darth Vader suit at the end of that movie. Because you know it's wrong. That whiny-ass motherfucker in that Darth Vader suit.
And it just looks wrong.
Anyway, whatever. I think we're kind of getting off on a tangent. We're not really talking about Avatar versus
whatever.
The Lucas world. We're just going to dog it on Lucas now. But the idea that I wanted to get across was that, nope, you actually can make a visually stunning digital movie where nothing is real and walk away from it nearly crying because it was such a good film.
Right. I'm actually really curious in the human settlement area, like that main control room.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that was a set or not.
I would imagine only like the desks were real, honestly. Why would the walls have even been real in there?
I don't know. Well, the thing is, like watching the movie, I wasn't thinking like, oh, this is fake or this is a set. Okay, so they're in the command room. Now that I'm thinking back on it now, like, It would take a while to build that for real.
There was only one plot hole to me in the whole film that I had a problem with, and not so much a problem, just a lingering, nagging question. Because I had a lot of questions. I wanted to know more. I want to read like the story bible for Avatar.
Right.
Yeah. I want to know the whole history of the Na'vi. It was a very good fictional race. I really want to know more about them. But one thing that bothered me, and this is also a minor spoiler, minor spoiler for Avatar. The first time Jake walks out in his Avatar body,
yeah,
there's like 60 other Avatars training.
There was like three.
No,
there was three.
There is a pan. There is a pan where they're jumping over shit. They're running around. There's like six of them playing basketball.
Okay, there are two of them playing basketball.
What about all the ones running and jumping through the obstacle course?
Two black guys.
No one is running the obstacle course.
There are two.
No. I saw it last night.
All right, well, where are those guys then? Let's say there was at least a half dozen more. Where are those guys?
Right. No.
Second question.
At the end of his first night, there is that little room. Like they go into the cabin or whatever. Like their sleeping bunks. And there's probably six or seven. But yeah, you never see any of those.
Is anybody working on a car?
That's what I'm saying.
What?
Is anybody working on a car?
There weren't.
No.
There's only one other plot hole, and it basically breaks down, at least for me, it basically breaks down the entire story, so you have to just forgive it. But why even approach the situation from that, direction?
Why be diplomatic at all if you're really that big of a dick?
Right. They had, it was very clear, they had absolutely no intentions of being diplomatic. Second of all, it's extremely bizarre that their method of diplomacy would be wearing their skin and pretending to be them.
To at least partially address that, it wasn't made very clear, but my understanding is that the human settlement and Hometree were extremely far away, very far away, and they were actually running the equipment there. Like, they were just tearing up forest and, like, clear-cutting the land until,
like,
they got there.
Like, it took 3 months to get there?
Like,
and that's why he had a three-month deadline? The line from the movie was the bulldozers are going to be there in 3 months. You didn't get the impression if they were being picked up and then dropped from orbit or if they were just cutting a path.
Right. Well, the thing is that I wasn't – my assumption was that they were just rolling the whole time. But I don't really know.
Mr. Peepers in the forum here says something else. Biggest plot hole in Avatar. Jake waits until the major threat is far too close to its objective before doing anything about it.
Right.
I can take issue with that the same way that he is and wonder his transition from I feel more human to I feel more Na'vi obviously didn't happen overnight. But he's basically
it was 3 months.
Right. He's basically at the ass end of the 3 months, if he's got a calendar, he knows they're on their way. He's just playing happy lovey-dovey blueskin people time. And he's like, holy shit, the bulldozers are here. And I'm like, dude, you knew yesterday that the bulldozers were going to be here today. You're reporting to your human masters every single night.
Well, he's not. No. Because when he finally goes to talk to the colonel says, it's been over 2 weeks since your last report. And that was before he went back out.
So maybe he lost track of time.
Well, I think that's part of it, and part of it was just because it showed him.
Or he just hoped it wasn't going to happen.
Maybe a little bit of denial. I don't know. Because they really went out of their way to show him neglecting his human self, like, entirely.
Right.
Like, he wasn't, and I thought that was, he wasn't eating.
Again, that's good storytelling. What is wrong with people thinking that that's not good storytelling? This guy is sitting there. He's so happy and so free in this alien blue body and so much more comfortable literally in someone else's skin that he stops shaving. He stops bathing. He doesn't want to eat. His body is a cumbersome fucking – it's a chore to be human.
Well, see, and without seeing the movie – I will agree that without seeing anything, that people are picking a fight in that sense, just going because, well, it's 3D or it's CG, so it's
not getting a fair shake.
Like, they're gonna buy off the starting line minus 10 points just from the start, because some writer at the Chicago Tribune is like, back in my day, because, you know, he's still 77. He's 77. He's almost 80. And he's like, this is bullshit.
Dude, honestly, as far as acting goes, I would say the girl that plays Neytiri needs to be up for an Oscar.
I actually was thinking the same thing, because you never see her human.
Fantastic
but
acting in that movie.
Every single time there's like a close-up on her, she's real.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. 100% real.
This is going to be the first time that Pixar doesn't win an Academy Award for CG.
Probably.
Are they in the same category this year?
Up is going to be the only thing they've got to go up against it.
But it's not an animated film.
No. No, it'll be about effects.
Oh, it'll be effects, and it should win for that. That's kind of a no-brainer.
Well,
the only other thing that comes close would be District 9 this year. I mean, like, Terminator is going to get something.
District 9 was shot against a realistic backdrop.
Shit. Just saying.
Well, no, it's not going to win.
I'm saying District 9, despite how great the alien effects were, it was shot against the real world. Right. And there's no comparison.
I don't know. It's really well done, though.
No, I'm saying the world, you're taking the best character effects and combining it with the most complete digital environment that's ever been committed to film. That's ridiculous.
You know, another thing that came up when we were watching the preview, that this could just be because it was at least 6 to 7 months ago.
Yeah.
And Cameron did say that, like, right up until
who
last month.
Who knows how much of it was
they
done.
Were still rendering stuff out.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that's probably part of the
they
reason
they shot
why
the human scenes in 2007.
Right.
That's crazy.
I'm really curious if what we actually saw weren't the final effects, because there were certain things that I came away from the preview where I was thinking, like, the forest is like, holy shit, they built a whole forest, but it felt like too perfect.
It felt like a video game to me at the preview.
Right.
Well, but, and
the forest feels like a completely real.
Yeah.
Like, that's 100% fake. And watching the movie, I never once.
I even thought.
It never even crossed my mind.
I thought how bizarre it was that I accepted so readily, you know, purple iridescent trees. I mean, like, it just it didn't even faze me.
Right.
I'm going to be real curious to read the Cinefex book on this, because I read the one for District 9, and I read a lot of that for like Dark Knight. Like Dark Knight was interesting because they talked about how they went into great detail about building out the miniatures, and they built like a small scale tumbler, and the whole sequence with the when they go underground and they have the rocket launcher, sequence is all miniature. Reading all that's really cool. I read the one about District 9. I read the one about Iron Man. Like Iron Man, they were like, we got to the point where we're literally running out of time. Like our render time was taking forever because they had to do so many passes on like getting his shaders.
They had a really small team for that too.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's ILM. That was partly ILM. ILM took care of the majority of the actual Iron Man. And then they had to farm out like all the other scenes, like a lot of the other scenes. But anything that had Iron Man in it was majority ILM. I'm really curious to read a lot about this because not only did they come up with new technology for depth and the camera and all stuff, they had to have come up with a new pipeline for like rendering this shit. Like because conventional rendering for this kind of stuff they'd still be rendering like now. Like they'd be rendering, delivering frames like while you're watching.
Cameron basically reinvented every step of the way, like every aspect.
Well, that's what I'm curious. Like production. I'm sure he didn't come up with that as much as like some programmer had to rethink about. Okay, we need to much like Carmack is rethinking. You know how they're going to do. You know, id Tech. You know, and Endless World, whatever. They had to have done that here. I mean, I'm sure Cameron probably says, you know what, that's not really my problem, dude. Like, you figure out how to make. The rent, like, yeah. I mean, I
Cameron,
can tell you how I can
Cameron
tell you
got
how,
his start as an effects artist.
Sure,
like,
but
he's actually
you gotta say for that
competent.
Guy, it pretty sure. much at every turn, he's kind of done something that hasn't been done before that then becomes the standard. Like, I mean, you're talking the most extensive CG shots to date in Terminator 2.
Oh, yeah, no, he worked with ILM on The Abyss to create that effect so that they could then do it better in Terminator 2.
Yeah. I think it's interesting of him that he seems to always be thinking about his next move.
Yeah.
Like in that respect.
How do we make this better, faster, easier?
Yeah.
Like, how do we get the output to be a better quality?
So you've got Terminator 2, which just, I mean, it's obvious that reinvented movie effects all by itself. And also, if you're going to talk dumb story, start there. And who's out there complaining about Terminator 2? Everyone fucking loves Terminator 2. I've got a dumbass story.
Right.
It's got more plot holes than maybe any modern movie ever. But still.
But it's Terminator 2.
It's fantastic. It's awesome. I've probably seen it 250 times. And then you've got, you know, The Abyss had more story than effects, honestly.
Right.
But then the Aliens franchise, when did he jump ship? Was he all the way through to 3?
He was only did 2.
Just 1 and 2. Okay.
Just 2.
No, just 2.
Oh, just 2.
Ridley Scott did the first one.
Okay, so he did the good one.
What do you...
It's not even...
Aliens is the only one I like.
Have you seen the first one?
No. Not since I was a little kid.
Why do you... Get out of my house.
I haven't watched it in probably 15
years. Who are you? What are you doing here?
The first Aliens?
Yeah, Alien.
Alien, yeah, Alien. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it in a while, then...
I like Aliens.
You have to revisit that.
Wow.
Well, because most people probably think that Aliens is the original. Obviously, I know you don't know that. I mean, obviously, I know that you obviously don't know that.
Whatever.
Think
that. He's retarded. Think that.
Yeah, there I understand you, go. You. I'm just saying, like, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, Aliens kick ass. And you're like, well, it's not the first one. Like,
right,
you know,
that was
it
the...
really isn't. But a
well,
lot of
the
people,
ones
a lot
after
of people
that
do
sucked.
Think that.
So... Anyway, I liked his, you know, take on that. I don't know how much film technology he may have reinvented for that. Probably none, but...
He did... I don't know if he reinvented anything, but he made that movie very cheap.
I don't care if you think it's stupid or sucky or you hate the song or whatever, but Titanic was really good.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, even that. That was... one, it was a large-scale CG production for the time.
Yeah.
It
they
was
built
a
third scale Titanic for that
large
fucking
scale
thing.
Practical effects.
Yeah.
and it was the most expensive movie of all time. I mean, like at the time,
I know, and it's still the the highest grossing movie of all time.
Probably no, it's been overshadowed a few times actually.
Okay, I think New Moon has passed it up already.
That was disgusting.
No, it's still Titanic.
I'm kidding.
All time worldwide grossing revenue.
Avatar just had the. I think they just broke biggest worldwide opening weekend ever.
I'm pretty sure.
No. It was biggest worldwide opening for an original IP.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Not Titanic.
Like non-sequel or something.
Right. Well, it's basically non-sequel, non-book historical adaptation. Not something that is an existing franchise.
The other thing that's weird about Cameron. Titanic
2, Back from the Dead.
The other thing that's weird about Cameron for Titanic
resurfacing
is he made that movie because he was obsessed with the actual Titanic, and he hasn't stopped.
Right.
He's had like three more. You know, trips to the Titanic. There.
Yeah.
He's been filming shit in IMAX.
He himself personally has spent more time on that ship than the people that were on that ship. Like, seriously.
Hey, look
literally.
At this guy over here.
Hey, look at this guy on the sucking ship over here. Oh, what's he going to do? Pick up some old china and have some tea? Oh, he's underwater over here.
Hey, Frankie, pass me some of them meatballs over here.
Drink the seawater, James Cameron. Drink it up. Fucking Jamook over here.
That was terrible.
Oh my god.
Wow. Yeah, Italians.
I hate everybody.
So who's been watching Jersey Shore?
Nope.
Sorry, not me. I don't hate myself enough to do that.
I'm surprised, honestly.
30-minute mark.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and pause and do a quick save here.
Quick break. Make sure we don't lose anything.
Let's pick up
Okay, we're back. Live.
And
so we're done talking about Avatar, but
bad.
Yeah, there's so much more to say, but
it would all involve spoilers at this point. Eli, since you were playing with your phone there, I was noticing that you just where'd you go? You went to
I just went home for
Texas,
the weekend.
Texaco,
yeah,
Mexes.
Yeah, there's nothing interesting about it at all.
You don't want to talk about that?
There's nothing interesting.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's an awful place.
Right. It's almost Mexico. Why does your family still live there?
Because it's cheap.
I bet.
Because it's home.
Yeah.
There's this thing where when you move out of a place where the most you can hope to make is like $6.50 an hour, it doesn't matter if it gets a little bit more expensive because you can probably make a little
bit
more money.
My parents are fine with their income because they're making decent money.
I'm just saying, like, you know, your brothers and your cousins and your fucking...
No, what are you talking about? My brothers live here.
No one else lives there?
All my relatives live there because they don't like the... And this is...
Your brothers aren't relatives? Okay.
My brothers live here. My uncles, cousins still live there. What I'm saying is... And it was funny because I did bring this up because I actually work with a couple guys that are from the same area. It turns out there's like four of them, and we're all like, oh, shit, we're all from the same area. So we all know about
that's
like
really weird.
Particular foods and whatnot.
Bimbo.
Yeah, and like certain commercials.
Bimbo.
Like the commercial like in from the Found Footage Festival, the guy like trying to sell you the couch, you know, with the... I just
with
love
the gesture.
You. What awesome. Is it? What is he?
I just want to save you some fucking money.
Save you some money. Like, we all grew up with those commercials, so we know, like, when we can make fun of Valley Distributors, Valley-wide, you know, or whatever. We all know what we're talking about. But the one common thing is it's a very, very slow-paced world down there, and that's why my parents won't move away from there, because...
It's like Speedy's cousin, Slowpoke. Slowpoke Gonzalez.
Wow. All of that
or
area.
Slowpoke
wow.
Rodriguez.
All of that area is like that.
See?
It's slow... And it's very like
it's racist.
if you want to challenge,
it's slow and it's racist. Yes, exactly.
My iPhone is faster than most connection down there, and that sums it up. If you can't deal with that,
then they get more than like 13 channels of cable.
You have to get out. But for most people down there, they don't even know if iPhones exist, so it's really not a problem for them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my parents...
Is it like how our TV signals are broadcast into space and 1,000 years later the aliens can watch them? It's the same way in Harlingen?
No. It's like how the Na'vi don't want light beer or blue jeans.
No, it's just true.
It just doesn't matter.
Bows and arrows is all
right,
you need.
Right.
Actually, that's exactly the same...
Oh, shit! I should have said a prayer for this sandwich before I ate it.
Yeah. Yeah, his
thank you, brother. Sandwich.
Its energy will become part of the people.
Did you say synergy?
Sure.
Jim. Jim is outrageous.
I want to live forever.
Jam.
So yeah, that's all I have for that.
Okay. That sounds like a boring, terrible trip. That
you shouldn't have done. It wasn't.
Why do you do things like that?
Well, because.
Why do you love your family?
Why don't you same reason you go home every.
I don't. Back to, I don't like my family, and I don't go back there at all.
There you go.
My mom went back this couple weeks ago, and kind of gave me that like.
You should go back.
Half question of like, when do you think y'all going to go back? I said probably never. And she's like, oh, and I'm like, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. The last trip to Beaumont was enough. I'm probably never going to go back. It was horrible. That place is fucking horrible.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I go back not because, I mean, I can deal with that. Like, I can deal.
Well, we had a 2-year-old at the time.
Sure, but I can deal with the fact that my internet, I can get everything I need on my iPhone. And that's fine. Like,
the fact that we were staying in a city where, like, there are literally, like, hand spray painted signs on the side of the freeway that say like inwards go home and shit like that.
It's not that bad where I'm at.
Don't ever want to set foot. And of course that was in Vidor, not Beaumont, but still it's the same place.
I mean,
I don't ever want to go there.
It's not that bad where I am. I mean, it's not like, you know, you want to go do something interesting in the evening. You can go to a movie and that's it. That's what I'm saying. Like there's
Beaumont
no,
has a Barnes & Noble that's open till 11.
Well, there you go. That's more than what we have.
That's kind of what everyone does there.
So, but yeah.
And they didn't have it when I lived there. They had that later.
Sure.
We had a Books a Million. So we'd go there until midnight.
We had a...
and not buy things.
What's it called? It's a place that sells books, magazines, DVDs.
Books Bueno Mucho?
No, it's...
Libros Mucho? Mucho libro.
Es la biblioteca. Yes, that's what it was.
Oh, the library.
The library teca.
And we had a place that had books and DVDs and as a library. It was actually a post office / library. Only one person worked there.
There it was
the mayor.
Laundromat.
It was the mayor. Hola, Eli. Come in. I have your new VHS tapes. Speaking of Spanish accents,
I went and saw. I did see the Riff Tracks Christmas special.
Oh, how was that? Like, I had to work
live.
Yes.
Oh, well, wow, really?
Live at the theater. So it was like one. It was one of those. What do they call it? The Fandango thing.
It was a live broadcast.
No. But there's a name for like Cinemark has a name for all that shit.
You mean like it was happening somewhere in America, but you were watching it broadcast live?
Yeah, I was like. Because I was watching it going like, well, this is probably pre-recorded. But then I look at the Twitter comments from, what's his face? The guy who plays.
Mike Nelson?
No, not Mike Nelson.
Kevin?
Yes. Okay. Kevin. And he's like, join us. And there were pictures of the seating area. And I was like, whoa, shit, that really is somewhere. Like, I don't know where it is. They made a reference to Fort Worth. So I was like, whoa, are they nearby? But I think they were just taking a shot Fort Worth. But it was really good the way.
So they were shooting it from behind them, like you could see them and the theater.
The layout was they were at a theater somewhere, like a not like a movie theater, more like a theater.
Oh, a theater tray.
Like, right. Yeah. So like the Inwood here, or you know something like that, and they were on a stage.
The Inwood theater. Yes, the Inwood theater.
The Inwood. Inward.
I'm going to call it that from now on. Right. you just ruined that theater.
Thank you.
Eli didn't.
Where did. Where is he? Oh.
Oh.
Hey. Oh.
They?
What?
Yeah.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
Wait, we're recording this, right?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go on.
We are recording this seriously, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like they're on a stage. There's a screen, but it's not like a movie theater screen. It's like one of those, like it's been pulled down, and then they have three seats off to the right with music stands. So they have all their dialogue there. So you're facing them.
I stopped paying attention to you about 5 minutes ago.
So they basically do this whole the same thing, but what they do is they'll split screen, like where the movie would be to the left, and then there'll be three smaller screens of them, which is kind of odd. Three screens of them on the right side of them, like watching like sideways and reading their dialogue.
That would freak me out.
But occasionally they would show the whole screen. You would just hear their voices.
They do know they're only supposed to be silhouettes, right? Like they get that.
Yeah, I think
right.
That's probably copyrighted or something. I don't know. But
silhouettes, outlines. Yeah. Can't do
outlines
it ever again.
Of. Yeah,
no.
Well, no. If you do it in front of a movie screen, anyway. It was actually really good. It was all done with stuff from probably National Archives or
oh, you know. It was just clips.
No, they were like full links. Like they showed like the spirit of Christmas, and it was brought to you by Encyclopedia Britannica Films. And they were really good. There was one that they brought out Weird Al for one of them. So they had essentially like six like little shorts. And they were probably about 15 minutes each. The whole thing was like an hour and a half. So it was like 15 minutes each, and they were all like, Tommy, this year is going to learn the meaning of Christmas. Or no, one of them was like, it was like a story about a tree. And then they showed all these big ass, like.
No, that was Avatar.
Avatar, right?
Right.
That was Avatar.
They showed these big ass trees, and then like they showed this little tree amongst all the little, and the little tree has like narration to himself. He's like,
I sure wish I could grow up to be a big tree.
Basically, but he was all like, I'm so sad and insignificant. Nobody notices me. And like all the kids are playing around him. He's like, I wish somebody
suicidal
would.
Thoughts.
Yeah, it kind of was.
And then all the loggers show up and they're like, let's cut down all these trees except for that little shitty
That's
one.
Actually, exactly. Like,
No. At the end, he's still alone.
It's just like,
I wish they would have taken me.
He's like trying to lean over into one of the chainsaws. Like,
seriously, that's exactly how it was. Like the narration was like, I'm so small and insignificant. And they'd show like these kids running around like
the end. Merry Christmas, everybody.
They're like, yay. Like they're playing the snow. And then they see the tree and they point it out. And like the dad comes and he's like, I wish they would like play with me, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, then
and then they bring out
be
like a little fucking axe and start chopping him down. He's like, what? Why would they, you know, blah, blah, blah. And of course, with their riff on top of that, you know, they're just murdering this thing. But
and then it turns out to be Charlie Brown's Christmas tree.
Basically, yeah. They're like in a fucking log cabin out in the middle of nowhere. They're like fucking backwood redneck people. Like,
was this an Italian art film?
So it kind of was. That's what was really
at
odd.
At the end, the tree is like up in the cabin and they're decorating it. And
it's like they were
trying to make,
it just starts bleeding everywhere.
I die now.
It's like they were trying to like. They were trying to make it like all artsy, like Encyclopedia Britannica was. And I was like, what the fuck are we watching? This is so fucked up. Even they were like, we don't really have a whole lot to say here. This is just some fucked up shit about a tree that's insignificant. Like, and so on. It was really good. It was like, it was $12, but it was worth it. The theater was pretty packed, and they had a.
But you can't really recommend it because it's not happening again.
Well, no, but so. if they do have another Riff Tracks, which apparently they're going to do on a more regular basis, I would definitely suggest that. And I would say get there extra early because you know how they have the like quotes, you know, from movies. They have their own like they've replaced those with own
the little title.
Yeah, and it'll have stuff from like. You know, Attack of the Clones, and it'll have like a line that like Anakin said from the movie, but it's done with a really like splashy background, you know, the way that all the other ones are, which is really well done. And then I noticed, I was like, what the fuck are they singing? It's like When a Man Loves a Shark was playing in the background.
What?
And I was like,
they made their own Muzak?
They made their own Muzak and their own slides. Man, it's what it was.
Loves a dolphin.
Well, it wasn't like that, but they're singing about being chum. Like when you love a shark. It was really well done. I mean, and apparently they're going to do more of these like throughout the year. They've so gotten huge on this stuff. So support Riff Tracks.
Oh yeah, okay. I get yeah.
Go. Okay. Go now.
Then
next.
That's a good thing. They DirecTV emailed me.
Don't have it.
And they were like hey, thanks for like all your thousands of dollars over the last fucking like 8 years or whatever. Here's 3 months of free Showtime. And I'm like, cool. So like after a week of ignoring that, I actually programmed the channels in. So I've been seeing a bunch of old movies, like old like 4 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
That I never got around to seeing. I actually saw The Happening.
Oh no.
Without Riff Tracks? Wait.
Have you seen it?
Eli and I watched it with Riff Tracks. One of the most painful experiences of my life.
Oh watchable. My god, I watched it straight up.
Hot dogs.
Oh my god.
Man, you don't even know why that's funny.
I don't.
No, because that was part of the Rift
Trials. There was nothing funny about
the hippie
sadness.
Guy. Whenever they like go to his greenhouse and he's like, "Does anybody want some hot dogs?
Yeah,
I'm making some hot dogs.
Seems like the end of the world here. I'm gonna go talk to some plants. You guys want some hot dogs?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, so from that point until the end of the movie, anytime that guy was on screen, the Rift Tracks guys were just like, "Hot dogs."
He like, wasn't just on non-stop. The screen that much. He died hot pretty quick.
That every time he showed up,
was
it was
an unmovie. That it was movie horrible. Happened
it was so bad. Oh god,
in negative space, like. There's got to be a formula for how many movies had to die to make that movie exist.
It was so bad.
It looks like they drove to a mall in, like, Boston, drove up in a school bus with, like, a megaphone, and they were like, "Anyone want to be in a movie? Get on the retarded bus!" And then everyone gets on.
Hey.
They drive them out into a field, give them some, like, flashcards with lines on them, and then film them and just leave them there to die. I think most of the death scenes were the people killing themselves for being in that movie.
So it was basically, it was a snuff film.
Yeah. Like
that
they
was real.
They didn't know where they were going to go with it. But then when people started like laying under lawnmowers, they're like, keep filming.
This stuff is great.
This is good. This is gold.
Wait, I want to know what kind of fucking blackmail material M. Night Shyamalan has. Because who the fuck is allowing these movies to get made? Seriously, yeah, somebody sitting in an executive role going like, "That's pretty good. I like that."
He made one
let's,
really
let's
cool
have
movie.
Him do some more.
Somehow that's three. Cred. Oh, yeah. I'm not thinking of Unbreakable.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
Signs.
I hated that.
Oh, right. I loved it.
We differ in opinion on that stupid
Signs
movie.
Had a couple of little rough parts, but overall I loved it.
I hate Mel Gibson so much. It's like Tom Cruise for me. It's really hard for me to take him seriously.
I can separate Tom Cruise the actor from Tom Cruise the douchebag.
I pretty much can't at this point.
Yeah. It's easy.
I did like Mission Impossible 3.
He's actually a really good actor.
I liked Mission Impossible 3, but goddammit, I just want to...
Did you ever watch Alias?
Tropic Thunder?
I just want to punch him in the face. No.
Oh. Mission good. Impossible 3 is a 2-hour episode of Alias. Whatever. And I'm not kidding.
I believe you.
That's from like one of the first two seasons.
Same guy made it. Whatever.
Yeah, I know.
So someone in the chat room says, why is it Boston? Because it takes place in the
Boston?
East Coast somewhere. I don't know.
Wicked,
I think it happens over like,
awesome.
Around
right,
DC
because Marky Mark's in it.
Man, and oh my god, you know he's hit and miss. Dude. No matter when you're going to see him.
Right, right.
For instance, he got a well deserved Oscar nomination for The Departed.
For The Departed, right?
But he's also the guy from The Happening. I mean, what the fuck? I swear to God, that whole movie was the guy from SNL's impression of him. "Hi, I'm Mark Wahlberg. I produce Entourage. Something's happening. Have you noticed
the trees?
Have you noticed the my God, the way they explain that the hippie guy literally 30 minutes into the movie comes out and goes, "You know what I think's happening? I think the trees are pissed off at us, and they're releasing a neurotoxin that's making us kill ourselves." They can do that, you know?
But that's just me.
I'm anyway,
saying.
That's just my theory.
Just saying.
Right.
And
right.
then that's what they say at the
Over
end of
here.
The movie.
Right. Oh, I guess that hippie guy was right.
Yeah. I mean, he's just like at a, you know, normal conversation. "Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Everybody keeps killing themselves. It's crazy. I think it's the trees. I think the trees are killing us. You're crazy."
And
like 2 minutes
like
later, like,
going, like,
"I think it's trees.
Dog."
It was so horrible. God,
does anybody want some
They show up at that house though? With the old lady who doesn't have a radio or a TV, so she doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
And
she's got plenty of trees.
And for no reason at all, doesn't serve the story, doesn't serve the character, doesn't really add any suspense. She just goes nuts.
Right.
"You're trying to steal my evil doll that I keep in a room like a daughter. Blah!
Black devil doll, bitch."
Mark Wahlberg seriously goes, "No, that's not true. We are not trying to rob you." What? That's his line.
Okay, so I think my favorite part of the entire movie
was when it ended. when you
just
almost killed yourself
just before
it
ended. And the thing is that I don't remember who went where. Where some of them are in the crazy old lady's house, and like the woman or Mark Wahlberg goes into like the slave quarters, out into the field for no reason, and then they talk through a pipe.
Right.
Why did that happen?
Uh-huh.
That didn't serve any purpose at all.
It served the purpose of separating them.
I know.
So they had to decide to forgo certain death just to be
it's
together.
It's like separating church and state.
Oh.
No.
Through a brick.
No.
No.
Wait, no. It's more like fucking through a hole in the sheet. But
also, I missed like the first 10 minutes of it. I didn't understand till the end.
No,
I didn't understand till the end that Mark Wahlberg and
in that movie
and that chick were supposed to be a couple.
In this movie?
I did not even understand they were supposed to be a couple.
Yeah.
There was absolutely no romantic any entanglement between those two characters.
Was that Zooey Deschanel?
Zooey Deschanel, yeah.
Oh, God.
Somehow,
I feel so bad Shyamalan for her.
Is really good, much like Lucas, in counteracting. Like, he can unact somebody.
Right.
And be like, that's, he can deconstruct, a great
he can deconstruct someone's raw talent and literally remove it surgically.
And then go like, that's awesome. Go. Go with that. I like that.
It's like he whitewashes great works of art and then puts them back on display.
He's horrible. My God, he's horrible.
Well, no, he draws like stick figures fucking.
Yeah, well, that's even better.
Like on top of the Mona Lisa.
That would be a better painting. So I saw that.
Yes.
I saw The Mist finally.
Oh, I enjoyed that.
Nothing wrong with The Mist.
No.
Finally? Nothing at all.
Really?
It's not even
how
stupid.
How did you feel 2 minutes before the credits rolled?
You know what, though? It was already spoiled for me.
Oh, that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. Yeah.
Whoa.
And we'll be back.
Spock. We're back.
Are we?
Yeah. Oh. It seems there's a thing with the mobile podcast configuration where after 30, 40 minutes or so, it just kind of wigs out. I think it's GarageBand's fault. I think it's also the fact that I'm daisy chaining all these mics together, and you're probably not actually supposed to do that.
Well, I say that like another 10 minutes on our clock, so anyway.
Well, you can reset it, because I just saved. Whatever, yo. Hey, Josh. Come sit down. So, yeah, anyway. The Mist was spoiled for me. So many people, including Josh, kept going on and on and on and on about the ending that I was like, I'm never going to see this stupid fucking shitty B-horror movie. So I just looked it up.
You're an asshole.
Yeah, I ruined it for myself.
You're a fucking prick.
Yeah, I ruined it for myself.
Yeah, that's pretty retarded because it's actually not a B-horror movie.
No, it's not. It was pretty much a high-class horror movie.
Yeah, it was. It was one of the best in a while.
It was well-acted, good story, pretty original.
Yeah.
And the effects were just
Well, other than it being half-life the movie, but from like
Half-Life was actually based on the short story.
Yeah.
So, that they based that on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
If you look
Sit
at
down
the
so you can be on your mic.
Half-Life 2. Like, there you go. Yeah.
Now, the original Half-Life Daddy was partially inspired by the original The Mist short story.
Huh. That wasn't correct. By Stephen King, was it?
Yes, it is.
It is. Okay. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, it was good. I strongly recommend that to anybody.
Fuck you and spoiling. When I came out of the theater because I saw that opening night,
we high-fived.
It was gut-wrenching even just still to watch it.
Yeah. Without knowing anything ahead of time, I felt like I had been fucking punched in the gut.
Yeah, I know.
Like, wind knocked out of me, like, holy shit.
I was shocked that he didn't reach for one of those soldiers' rifles and just swallow it. Anyway. If you haven't seen The Mist, I strongly recommend it. It was good.
So good.
I also saw one more. And it's actually a new one. I think it was making the indie circuit. It has not made it to theaters yet. It may not. It probably shouldn't.
Black Devil Dog.
But it was pretty good on the Sundance Channel, called The Killing Room.
That rings a bell. I've heard of that.
That was
but
in
what
theaters.
Is...
Okay, well...
But yeah, very short, like the small independent...
It's very
theaters.
Indie. It's basically Cube, pretty much. What's her name? She sucked a dick on a movie for real. Chloe Sevigny shows up to this interview basically to join this clandestine branch of the government. And her test is basically to watch everything that happens in this room and monitor it. And what they do is they throw these four people into a room. Tell them that after 8 hours, they think they're there for a drug trial or something. They're all poor. They want to get paid. So they say after 8 hours, you're going to get $250. There's going to be various tests. There's questionnaire. And they all start filling out their questionnaire. The guy walks in, and he is the Dutch guy or German guy that was in Prison Break playing the mobster in the first season of Prison Break.
I never watched that show.
He's been in a lot of shit, man. I wish I could think of his name. Not Uncle Janosch from Buffy, no.
No, I was talking about Janosch from Ghostbusters 2.
Dude, hang on. I got. Oh, no, 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 not Janosch. He is the Wiggle. He's Lord of Carpathia. Hey. No.
That's the worst.
I don't remember his accent. I'm still stuck in. Hey, Vigo!
Scott says it's Peter Stormare.
That guy.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, I know who that is.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
So anyway, he's the main bad guy. So the first 5 minutes of the movie, he walks in, he greets everybody in the room. There's four subjects.
Wait, are you going to ruin this movie?
I guess I could not.
Please don't. If you're going to be like, it was awesome.
There's a shocking part. Okay, go see all of it. Anyway, the whole point is.
Wait a minute. You're about to like. Fucking just it's drop the your kind of, pants.
No,
show look. Drop
it's
your
like the, it's basically like the cube. How long can four people be locked up in a tense situation before they start killing each other? And the whole time,
like now,
Chloe has to just watch it and observe. And it's very indie. Like it doesn't really. At the end of it, you're supposed to be like, oh, that's what they were doing. And you're like, no, not really. But it was worth a watch. It was.
I've heard of it.
If you liked the cube, you'd probably like this.
The original
the
cube.
The first one. The cube.
Would you quit putting the avatar?
Is it called cube?
It's just cube.
I think I'd call it the cube.
Because then there was cube squared.
God damn it.
Yeah. Well, there's cube two hypercube. And then cube squared. To the three.
I think it was cube cubed.
Cube cube cube.
Starring cube.
Then there was Ice Cube, who was in Menace to Society? Or was he in
an AK? Didn't use it?
Or was it Boys in the Hood?
No, it was a good day. He didn't have to use his AK. Yeah.
Oh, he even saw the lights of the Goodyear blimp. Do you know what it said? Ice Cube's a pimp.
What are you?
Hmm?
Oh, God.
What?
Never mind.
Okay.
And with
that. Scene. So I recommend those two of those movies. Anybody else have anything that was good recently? Because we haven't done a podcast in like 3 weeks. Good movies, good TV.
I saw New Moon.
Why? What's wrong with you?
I was with a group and they wanted to, and
of
I
assholes.
Wait. Go back. There was a group with guns. There was a group with chloroform.
No.
Does it smell like chloroform?
Yeah. Hey, smell my armpit. Does it smell like chloroform?
What's wrong with
you're watching New Moon.
How are you gonna justify
and you're addicted
this?
To okay. heroin.
I can't. They're really.
You've not seen Twilight, have you?
No. I only saw
well, then how did you even know what was
you
going
ruined
on?
It then?
No, it was probably better that way.
Oh, my God.
Scott
said Josh has a blunt force trauma to the head. I'd take out everything after blunt. And then maybe that explains.
Yeah. As much as we've been making fun of George Lucas and his complete mm-hmm. inability
yeah, make this quick.
To make people talk, like, whatever. New Moon wasn't as bad as Star Wars.
Whoa.
Which one?
The new ones.
Slow it down there.
The new ones.
I mean, I don't know. I'd take like a needle full of poison to the cock before I'd watch a prequel again. So, I mean, I don't know what you're saying.
I would probably take a poison needle to the cock before I saw the next one.
The next New Moon?
Twilight or whatever the fuck it's called. I don't know what the next one's called.
Did I tell you, or did you see that I posted
about the
director of that movie? Posted a link to my shirt.
What? No.
A lot of people were like retweeting me. Oh my God! So and so linked to your shirt, and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? I've never heard of this.
You're talking about the Edward shirt,
and so finally, I'm like,
which is available at hijinksandsue.com store.
So I'm like, this guy must be famous. So I look at his Twitter, and I'm like, I still don't know who you are. So I look him up, and he's the director of the next Twilight movie. So then I go back on his Twitter, and he's like, we're getting really strong energy between Edward and Bella today. Really, really good chemistry. Really. And then like the one, and they all seem like they're written by a PA. All of it seems like it was written by some fucking douchebag that's getting $10 an hour to write his Twitter. Like,
that's good money.
Can't believe we still have 294 days of shooting before we unleash, you know, it's called like Eclipse or some shit like that on the world. Everyone's going to love it, you know? Oh, hey, look, here's a new Team Edward. And then he links to my shirt. I'm like, oh, man. Painful.
So,
I haven't told that story on the podcast, but I think everybody already knows it. I need to report back to Team Almost now about what we're doing next. They emailed me again. I kind of don't have an answer for them yet.
Wait, them.
You're building a DeLorean?
No, but I haven't gotten the address to send EJO his shirt yet. He's somewhere in Peru.
Oh, I was going to say somewhere in space.
No, he's in space right now.
No, Peru is where they space landed diplomacy. During the finale of... right.
That makes
sense. Oh, okay. So yeah.
He built his little log cabin.
He's mating with indigenous peoples.
He's mating with a dead woman.
No. Oh. How long do you think he kept her propped up in a chair? Jaw just falling off and... He reads that book to her every night.
I love
Where were we, Rosalind? Yeah, chapter 4. Never did finish it.
Peter Pan then said...
You're really starting to stink.
Your hair has never looked more disheveled. Right.
Actually, she wouldn't have had me. No. Maybe he would have kept one of her wigs. And just put it on her skull. Oh, man. So...
Okay, what were we...
Oh, yeah. I was asking if anybody's seen anything good, and you said, no, I saw the worst thing ever.
It was terrible.
The antithesis of what you asked.
So the problem, I saw it Thanksgiving weekend, and the problem is that it's been a full month now since we've done a show. Mm-hmm. So all the hilarious things I wanted to say about it are gone. It was a horrible experience. The movie was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It ends on a cliffhanger, which was
retarded. How did anyone convince you to see this?
Chloroform.
My date for the weekend wanted to go.
What city were you in?
I was in Wisconsin.
Oh, so you were actually making a special trip.
Right.
Well. And
so then you ruined that trip by seeing this movie.
No.
What you were outside of your bounds.
What did your date have to agree to get you into that? I don't even want to know.
We're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, way to ask a question. Like, way to pull the pin on the grenade and be like, oh, shit, what do I do with this now?
I guess I eat it.
Hold this for a minute.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
Because, like, for me...
Totally worth it.
Because for me... I mean, I can't even come up with anything, honestly. There must be shit that dudes can do that I don't even know about. Because...
Clearly, God, there is things that guys can do that...
I can't even think of, like, a sex act that would make me go see that.
If guys already know what it takes to get there, then another guy working on that... You're good to go.
Well, then you should sign up, honestly. I mean, you've been talking it up for a long time.
That's true. That's, you've been dipping your toes in the jacuzzi, baby.
Time to just ease on into it. It's only hot for a little while. Your body will adjust. Your body will adjust to the temperature.
No, not really. Watched the finale of Glee. Watched, which was great.
Wonderful.
Actually, it was very good. I was kind of... I mean, I knew what they were gonna go with. Like, obviously, there's
just regionals. Such a relief.
Obviously, there's such... Right. Like, obviously, there's going to be regionals and then state.
Right.
And then nationals.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
they can do at least 3 more seasons. That was fantastic. Are they
coming back in...
Yeah.
January-ish. Spring. Yeah, okay. Everyone's coming back. It was just a half season. Because they got picked up. They got picked up, like, 4 episodes ago. Full season.
I picked up... The Sunny in Philadelphia Christmas special, but I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I haven't watched that either.
Have you seen it?
I've heard it was great.
Yeah, I've got. We can watch it after.
We should do that, honestly.
We'll see. What else? I don't know. It was kind of a dead... It's kind of a dead period for things. Like,
well, it really is, especially since TV ended about 2 months ago.
Yeah. Well, Dexter was fantastic this season.
I guess.
Wrapped up.
Yeah, good job. Good job, spoiler. Julie Benz showing up on The Soup. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. Did you...
I don't even watch Dexter, but I mean, I know what happened to her.
I know what happened now. What else was
there? Oh, Venture Brothers.
Venture Brothers has been really odd, but I've enjoyed it.
It's the weirdest season they've done ever, and that's saying a lot.
Yes.
That is saying a hell of a lot.
But when it's funny, it is just so fantastic.
Oh, my God. Hank, don't you want to go to Peru and get yourself a little brown boy girl? Just love him and take care of him and... No, Uncle Hatred.
We could quickly go over the Iron Man trailer, which was awesome.
I only watched it about 60 times, so I don't know if I caught everything.
Do the listeners really watch it before you go to bed? Some more?
No.
Like, is that,
Well, you saw the Clash of the Titans one, right?
No, yeah. I didn't watch
that.
Yeah,
the new one?
I didn't watch that.
I kind of have mixed feelings about that.
I can't say I have any. I hope it's great, but I got no enthusiasm for it.
It looks like God of War, the movie.
But you see, you didn't grow up watching the original Clash of Titans, did you?
Well, I did. I probably saw it about 6 times between ages 5 and 15.
Yeah, but see, that was kind of Lord of the Rings for like me growing up because our generation didn't have much. That was like, whoa! Well,
plus, you had a clockwork owl.
Metal owl! Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Ubo or
that
whatever.
That thing better show up in the movie.
Dudo.
It's just a matter of time before they remake Ubo. The Black Hole. Disney's The Black Hole.
That's a porn, isn't it?
Bob the Robot was awesome.
Yeah. Bob the Robot.
I saw...
Maximilian.
Yeah. Music okay, I saw, composed by Henry Mancini.
I finally watched some of the trailers for Kick-Ass.
Yes,
holy
I did.
Shit, it looks really good.
I saw the regular like honestly, R-rated trailers. You never saw that movie. I've seen four like R-rated trailers for that now.
Yeah, they're really good.
They're insane.
Yeah, I love the little girl. So quickly, little 8-year-old girl's like, God. "All right, you cunts!"
Quickly,
and then she starts
shooting
everybody.
Explain to me what that movie is about.
I don't know.
It is about, the movie is from a graphic novel about a world where people decide to become superheroes, but no one has superpowers.
Okay.
So superheroes dress up like Batman, but just beat the crap out of people. And that's all you can do, is beat the crap out of people and have guns.
So they're kick-ass people, hence the name Kick-Ass, right?
Yeah, okay. And that's the point, is that all we can do is kick your ass. And so all right. The posters are like, I can't fly, but I can kick your ass.
Right, because the latest one was the first one that I've seen of any of that shit.
So
right.
The main guy that is like that looks like and the kid from man. Transformers is, just has like nunchuck sticks or something.
Bumblebee?
Yeah, and then Nick Cage is like a Batman type guy, and then his daughter is the Hit Girl.
Awesome!
That's just pretty
oh my
cool.
God!
Yeah, that was.
I really hope it's not one of those things where all the cool parts were in the trailer because that looks pretty decent.
Right.
Yeah, that should. That it's should be very interesting.
It's from the guy that directed Stardust and something
really?
Else. Yeah.
All right. Well then,
like, and Stardust was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, God.
But it wasn't nearly this R-rated. Oh my God.
Well, the fact that a little girl says cunt.
Shh. Okay, fine. Spoilers.
You're like, wow.
A little girl saying cunt is not a spoiler.
It was pretty awesome.
I was like, whoa.
Did you see?
We've crossed that. Like, when you hit, like, the sound barrier and you hear that, boof. I was just like, whoa.
Like, all the air gets sucked out of the room for a second.
Well, you could see it in the sky.
Was she Dakota Fanning? She looked like Dakota Fanning.
No, it's not.
Okay. She should have been Dakota Fanning.
Well, she's way older now. So.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
like
she plays a
now?
Lesbian rocker in her next movie.
Okay. Oh, God.
She's going to make out with Twilight Girl.
Good.
Oh, God.
They're in the movie about the...
Oh, God. Wait,
Joan
no.
Jett.
Oh, speaking of which...
Dakota Fanning was in New Moon.
What?
Yeah. It was a small part, but she showed up and I was like, really?
Mm. That's dumb. No, anyway, they...
I can't... Ugh.
I think it's like the Joan Jett story or the fucking...
Great.
Somebody else?
Hit me with your best shot.
So we can talk about, I guess,
fire away.
How Dollhouse's last episode or two got really interesting.
Oh, like the last four.
I'm still catching up.
Oh, well, okay.
Whatever.
So without doing spoilers, it's very clear.
Wait, there's one this week, right?
Was there? Well, they've been airing two
no.
at a time.
Oh.
There were two last Friday.
Shoving a lot of them down there.
Yeah.
I think it's gone till January.
I think it's,
I thought it was supposed
it
to wrap up this
almost
month.
Be gone.
There were 9 total. And there's only going to be one left to air in January.
Oh, okay.
So they should have done
six. No, they
six,
should leave them,
eight.
That will leave
there might be three left for January.
Yeah. So it really feels like they know it's over.
Sure.
And
well, they did.
They're cramming shit in and trying to wrap stuff up, and like the story is actually moving so fast. And
well,
it's
they're
all,
actually yeah. leading right up to Epitaph 1.
Right.
And here's what sucks. They should have revealed where they were going with this story. About 3 episodes into season 1. Because the Epitaph 1 type shit is awesome.
Sure.
And the romantic doll engagements are boring.
Right.
And so you've got the first 6 episodes of season 1, toss them out. The last 6, pretty good.
Okay.
Season 2, again, first 5-6 episodes, just fucking throw them away. They're pointless.
Right. Did you never saw the real pilot, did you?
No, I'm going to wait till it's
God
over or something and watch it.
Well, no, it is the first 6 episodes, but only
right.
the good parts.
So what I'm saying is they should have done that and then gotten right into this shit, this conspiracy shit that is so compelling and it's such a Whedon-y story. It's so meaty. And
right.
Yeah, it wouldn't have mattered.
There's so many
still,
angles to it.
We did get that one episode where Victor was playing Topher.
My okay, God. That was
pretty epic.
He's got to be
the best actor alive. Show. Yeah, he like, might
easily.
If he met Daniel Day-Lewis, the world might explode. Because I mean, it's just he might be that good.
Hello, I'm Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah,
it just cuts to the Death Star.
He is ridiculously good
without the blast ring.
Oh yeah, no. Pre ring,
right?
Yeah. But it's sad that that show is so very bipolar that it just can disappoint on so many levels and then just be like, oh, God, I wish this was a movie. Oh, I wish this episode was 6 hours long. Oh, now it's canceled. Yeah. But I guess I don't want to ruin anything for Eli, but I really, really like what they're going with the story.
Yeah.
And I really like that they should have turned Echo into a character, again, middle of first season. It was so tedious trying to watch the focus of a show not be able to change, grow, evolve,
right?
Become interesting in any way.
It was interesting that at least she is becoming interesting now.
Almost in spite of Dushku.
Yeah, I know.
Because she's still at her limit. She's still at her wall. The ceiling of her acting has been reached.
Right.
I kind of just ignored that. But
one of the funny things... actually about those last episodes. So she's basically a runaway for a little bit, and they show her in like the small town in the middle of Texas. Like, I don't know if you remember.
What are you talking about?
One of the episodes runaway. Starts with her at like a little general store, and like she steals food for some woman that can't pay for food.
Yeah. Like not the last one, but the one before. Yeah.
That was the town, like with the title card there. That was the town I grew up in. And
filmed it in Killeen?
No. Kerrville. No, Medina.
Kerrville?
Or
Medina, which is outside of Kerrville. So it says it took place in Medina. The general store they showed is bigger than that town.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought that was funny.
Nice. It looked like a Whole Foods.
Yeah, no, that's... There aren't police in Medina. Like, it's sure. not big enough for that.
Let's hit up some lists.
Okay. Anyway.
Well, that's going to be for the post show, so let's see if there's any questions we want to go to, and then we'll be done.
No questions. See you in the post show.
This is our last show of the year. I mean, we've already done 1:40. We can go straight to 2 and then be done.
No, we can't.
Why?
Some of us still have to work tomorrow.
What's tomorrow?
Work day.
Wow. No, I mean, what day of the week is tomorrow?
Wednesday.
Work day.
Someone's a little bitch.
Now, calm down, Eli.
Wow. Yeah, well, okay.
I was kidding, but
yeah,
someone's a little bitch. It's Joel.
Let's go to the twit sack and see if there's anything we can talk about here. You're just taking it easy.
Yes, I have a question. But I'd like you to answer it in the post show.
You answer it in the voice of Eli whining.
Thank you.
Okay.
Click, click.
Let's see.
I'll call back.
I guess I'll probably go ahead and get rid of the any questions about Avatar, since we've pretty much covered them.
Well, we can't cover any more without spoilers.
Logan Janes says, did you think this was a good year for sci-fi television? The introduction of SGU was a boon.
I haven't started. I just don't care.
Didn't see any of it.
Okay, Battlestar finished in March.
Was that really this year?
Yeah, that was this year.
Oh, that feels like about 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know. That was this year.
I don't know if I call that a good thing or a bad thing. And we didn't watch any Doctor Who.
Nope.
In Dollhouse, we just talked about that.
It was a B-. If you have to average the whole thing, including the bad stuff in with the good stuff.
Josh, this question, I guess, would only apply to me, but did anyone else get a chubby when they saw Neytiri on screen for the first time in Avatar? I thought she was sexy, but why didn't she have any nipples?
She does. You can actually see her nipples in a few shots.
I saw outlines, but she didn't have any areolas.
I was looking for it the second time.
Now, are we to assume that the Na'vi are a junkless species? Because there are many times where the males are jumping up in the air and their asses are in camera and there is nothing between their legs.
No taint?
No, it's all taint.
I'm really curious if one, I mean, their cat, do they have like inside parts that come out later?
You saw how they mate. Cats? They mate by sticking hair nerve endings together.
Cats' balls don't roll up inside them.
Shut up. Did they show that while they were like?
My wife says rocking? She saw it. I was looking for it. She says she saw their ponytails connect.
I didn't. It's like senso rings.
Yes.
Maps. Wow.
Senso rings.
Coneheads.
Where did you get senso rings, young one?
Yeah.
Motherfucker. So, I want to say they're at least internally junkified. Right. They did not seem to have any external junks. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
It was actually,
there would have been ample blue dong swinging in that movie if they'd had it.
It's just as an interesting side note. Speaking of their ponytail thing, we saw one use of that in that 20-minute preview. And that was like, it was almost offensive and disturbing, like, what's going on?
And then when they show it in the movie, it makes perfect sense.
Well, again, it was introduced very slowly. They made a funny comment about it first, and then you saw it step by step on the way up to the dragon beast things, the banshees or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was...
Did you get the impression that they are born with, like, 7-foot nerve endings hanging out of their head, and they wrap hair around it to protect it?
I don't know. I'm trying to... Were there kids?
Yeah.
I don't remember now.
There was one baby after a disaster. There was a woman carrying a baby.
Oh, yeah.
And it had a ponytail. You couldn't see if it had senso rings coming out of it, but anyway. Martin, that was from Josh Starr. Martin Sang wants to know from you two, I know you're both going to say the same thing. What was the game of the year?
Uncharted 2.
Yeah, both of you would say that.
Hands down.
I'm trying to think of something else besides...
Give me one reason.
Modern Warfare 2. Try
no.
it. Yeah.
Nah.
They don't compare.
No.
It's one of the best games in the past couple years.
No. Borderlands. Come on. Borderlands. Anyone?
Not so much.
Anyone?
You actually think Uncharted 2 was the best game of the year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, I do.
Okay.
But
especially because you didn't get to work on it.
Right.
It's awesome.
Yeah, Daddy needs a new TV, so Borderlands.
Yeah, Daddy didn't work on Borderlands either.
No, but Daddy's going to make a lot of money off of it, so. New TV.
You're getting it's getting awards and stuff, right?
Yeah. We've, I think the, like, X-Play on G4 TV, like, we were the best original game of 2009.
Wow. I'd also like to point out that Earned in Blood won some awards.
Oh!
It did not win any dollars, though.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah,
that's true. It didn't really.
Actually, did you know how I win best at show E3?
I don't. That can't be true.
Yeah, no, I think it did.
Speaking of, I read that article that you linked to about the whole saga now that it's done.
Yeah, if you follow me on Twitter, there's an article there you can read. Interesting.
It's on Wired.com about the whole 12-year cycle of Duke Nukem Forever. I do think it's funny, though, that they end the article with speculation that other companies might be able to make Duke Nukem games without actually mentioning that it's public knowledge that Gearbox was doing that and then now is not.
Right.
That seems to be absent from that very concise article.
There are other things absent from that article that we'll have to wait for the lawsuits to be done before we can talk about.
Sure. But I think the general gist was there.
Right. I'm...
I do think it's kind of crazy how one man
gross scale.
Sure.
But it was more than just mismanagement. It was one man's inability to cope with like leaving well enough alone.
Right.
Like,
I mean, I get it.
There were so many points where they could have called it done and it still would have been a great game.
Right.
Or at least sold well. It just wouldn't have been the best game that's ever been made.
It wouldn't have been Duke 3D.
Right, and it never would be again.
Right, and that's like a brief period of time, he had the very best game on the planet.
Yeah.
Like, unquestionably.
And I guess in his mind...
He'll never get back to that.
In his mind, that was the only thing he could shoot for ever again.
Well, and the sad part is there will never, ever be another game that's like, oh, that was the...
That just reinvented gameplay forever.
Right, we're beyond that now. Like, we are. We're way beyond
that.
Yeah,
the change is too incremental at this point.
The point is now is to try to get out a satisfying experience, not totally change everything forever. That's not going to happen.
They had a lot of
obviously
really,
he couldn't.
Deal I can't with even that. Imagine the frustration of going to work there every day for like 5 or 6 years at a time.
Because so many of those people, like a bunch of them, walked out in what 2006,
mm-hmm.
and then they came to work at Gearbox and ended up working on Aliens.
Yeah.
But like the stories from shut up, Eli. Anyway, I mean the stories coming from them were horrifying.
Yeah.
and it still went on.
Well, they changed engines three times.
Right, and it still went on another 3 years. And yeah. I don't know. The also, technology that they had was genuinely incredible. Like, some of the things they were doing were immersive and interactive to a level that no one will see for another 5 years.
I think it
was
2001 where they showed a full demo at E3 and, like, everyone went ape shit.
They had a complete game.
And that game could have been released.
That E3 video was 100% fake.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right. Well, it depends which
one. We found that out later.
Well, in any case, yeah. Basically, yeah, they may have had the greatest superstar engine of all time, but yeah, obviously he didn't get the point that, like, you got to put out something just to satisfy the consumer. Because that was when all that happened the first time, that was when it happened the first time. You can't relive that experience.
Right.
So
this is an interesting question. We've never been asked this before. This is from Of Noobs and Men.
All right.
And I don't care if you could say this about this year if you want to keep it easy, but what is your most regretted purchase and why?
Oh.
Did you ever early adopt any technology that just imploded?
Palm Pilot.
I've got one.
You bought a Palm Pilot?
Like
an old black and white?
Yeah, Palm Pilot? I think so. Well, I'll take back that question or take back that answer, but because I think I bought it after, like, the fact, and I bought it used or something. I'm trying to think of something worse.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I don't know if this is the worst of all time. It's the only one I can think of offhand.
Dreamcast.
No, that was awesome. Shut your mouth. When the PSP was originally announced, debuted in Japan 6 months.
Oh my god, I remember this.
So made a mistake.
So on day one, I imported a PSP from Japan for $700 because it was the most beautiful piece of electronics hardware I'd ever seen.
And then how long until they were in America?
It was like another 6 to 9 months.
And then how much were they?
When they got to America, they were like $350, I think, or $400.
So you paid twice the price, but you got it for 6 months early.
Right. Now, here's the fucked up thing. The original Japanese ones were the most easily hackable. You could just copy any file you wanted to it and just execute it and do whatever. So I had that working for me. For 6 months, the only games I could play were in Japanese. didn't really think that one through.
You had Lumix. That was it, right?
Luminous.
Oh, yeah.
Which was still in Japanese, but you kind of, like, fumbled your way through the menu and, like, the game started. Yay. I don't know how we did that. And then when they finally came out in the U.S., I never bought another game, and it's sitting in a drawer somewhere.
Is it worthless now?
Pretty much. I don't care.
You can't play anything on it?
There's nothing I want to play
on
it.
There's nothing worth playing on it. Like, there's something that came out that was so, like, oh, we got to own. Like, there is on the DS a couple things, but.
Right.
God, regrettable purchases.
My parallel zip drive? I bought that like in 1994.
I have purchased.
Like, I regretted the fact that it was parallel.
I have bought for my mom probably 4 computers that just so happened to be at the end of their life cycle without me realizing it, to the point where even for her mediocre needs, they weren't enough. So it's like the last computer I bought for was this little Dell thin client used, and I was like, it was like $200, and I'm like, oh, she can get online, she can check email. And then, like, right after that, she got her first digital camera, and it can't play the movies that her camera takes because it's like a Celeron 800 megahertz.
Oof.
So that was pretty.
That's
shitty.
An Xbox One.
Yeah, ooh, I know.
Literally, I actually, it's a 733, but
I got one.
Wow.
Okay.
I had the T-Mobile Sidekick.
I remember that.
And I have to say, from a texting phone, kick ass. Oh, and that goes back to your Game Gear.
Oh.
Was it Game Gear?
No. The Side Talker, the taco phone.
You win. You win with that. You bought the fucking first N-Gage.
No. N-Gage. No. There you go.
No.
The one where you had to take the battery out to change games.
Okay. No. No. Shut up.
No.
No.
No! I will talk!
Shut your mouth. I bought the second N-Gage.
Okay, yeah.
Where you didn't have to take out the battery.
that justifies.
And here's why.
But it's still a taco phone, right?
No.
It justifies.
It was still shaped the same, but instead of having the mic on the edge, it was on the front. Okay, no. So shut your filthy whore mouth.
What a sad piece of shit.
It was a sad piece of shit, but it was a Symbian Series 60 operating system phone. What? So it's still, I played Mario on it because it had a real D-pad.
What is that?
Well,
that's.
Remember when you bought that was because I bought your old Symbian phone.
That's right.
And it could play all. This is what was crazy. He had this Symbian phone.
It was a fucking high end.
It was probably the highest end regular cell phone available at the time. And he's like, I'm going to buy an N-Gage. So he sells it to me for a fair price. But at the time, phones were crazy expensive back then. It was like $350. And because it was Symbian, it was like the first thing that could do pretty much anything because people were just writing apps for it left and right, most of which broke the phone's basic functionality. And
yeah, there was a little bit of that.
But it also was an N-Gage. You could download N-Gage games and play them all, except you couldn't control them because the buttons were all right on top of each other.
Right.
That you win with that. That was.
Yeah, because I would say, like, yeah. I mean, I had.
Eli, you bought like 250 HD DVDs. That was pretty stupid.
So did I.
But I still watched
them. I don't
regret
that, though.
Yeah, I mean, they're still part of my rotation.
Okay, see, that makes me the brown coat. Like, I lost that battle, but I deserved to win.
No, yeah, that's true because, like, I bought another HD DVD player when they were selling for $29.99. And I can still go to Amazon UK and pick up a couple things that I want. Yeah.
And
Brotherhood
and to be
of
fair,
the Wolf and others.
I traded in all my Warner Brothers HD DVDs
for
Blu-rays.
Oh, you did that whole thing?
For $5 a piece.
That's not a bad deal.
It was like $140 for all of them.
I'd probably say my first house was my most regretted purchase.
There you go.
It was a fixer-upper.
Next to the green.
Thanks for your question, rubbing that in. Thanks.
Oof.
Let's see.
Yeah, your people.
We either need to save or something because.
Nah, we're doing fine.
All right, until Spock shows up. I'm just giving you a heads up, we're way past the 30-minute mark.
I don't care.
Spock.
This one's specifically to me, so I won't ask that one.
No. Wait. What? Ask the question to me as if I were you, and I'll answer
Arno Knott says, this year you've started attending conventions, and the Team Edward shirts are blowing up.
Right.
What's next for Hijinks and Sue?
Ooh, what is next for Hijinks and Sue?
Tell me, Josh. I don't know. I'll leave it up to you. Whatever
dildos.
You say, I'll do it.
Dildos and cock rings.
If I made money, I'd do it. I'd slap a logo on anything.
The Lord of the Ring cock ring.
Nah, that's an
Lord,
old joke.
Lord of the cock ring.
That's an old joke. Jack Black did that on MTV.
Whatever. It was a PA.
Did
not
he
a
make
cock
it?
Ring.
Did somebody make it? Because if they didn't, opportunity.
This is from Covered Wagon Kids. When will we see the next Hijinks and Sue book? Probably by summer of this year.
And is it going to be the third year of?
It'll be the third year. It'll be all of 2009. Actually, what's funny is depending on what I post tomorrow, I can't do anything Friday because we have back-to-back scheduled family events till the end of the weekend. We have like 15 Christmases to go to. So I got to post something for tomorrow, and I have no idea what I'm going to do Friday. But then I've only got two more comics, I think, for the rest of the year. So if there's anything that I want to be in that book, I have to do it like right now. Like if I haven't said enough about Iron Man or something, you know, I got to do it like right now.
Right.
All right. So we're done. That's podcast 64.
Woo.
In the bag.
Wow. Really?
I just thought of my most regretted purchase.
Go.
I bought the very first Creative Labs hard disk MP3 player. It was six gigs. A 6 gig laptop drive, and it was the one that they made it look like a Discman. I guess because they thought people would be like familiar with that.
Yeah.
So it was this big ass semicircle with like a tiny 4-line LCD screen on it, black and white, and then the buttons arranged like a Discman, and it couldn't do anything you would think an MP3 player should be able to do. Like you couldn't navigate by like. Artist, then their albums and then their songs. It was basically like a list of artists, click it, here's all their songs in alphabetical order, you know, like so you either had to put it on 100% random. I like that you're still going. Or you had to make a crazy ton of playlist. The file management software is crazy. Here's the best part though. It was It was something like $400, and I bought it, almost instantly hated it, and sold it on eBay, because I found out on the creative forum that they were cutting the price in half to get rid of them. You have to stop that right now. I can't do this with you doing that.
No, this is like your lead out music.
So anyway, they were cutting the price to like $200. I found that out ahead of time and sold it on eBay for, I think, $325 the day before they made the official announcement.
You're a bastard.
I felt better about myself for doing that. Anyway, so now we're done. Hijinks Ensue Podcast 64 done. Check out the store and get your very own often mentioned in this episode Edward James Olmos Team Edward shirt, officially licensed by the man himself.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Oddly enough.
That doesn't make sense.
It really doesn't.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I haven't gotten his personal email address yet, but hey, that's like down the road. I mean, that's just like right around the corner. And when we meet, we'll have something to talk about.
Hey, remember that time I used your face?
Shut the fuck up, kid. Learn, how can I reach these kids?
Yeah, the dithering works really well on those craters.
So anyway, I realize that if he reads all of my comics tagged with Edward James Olmos, he might not like me so much.
Well, let's just pray.
I've had some fun at his expense, let's just say.
Yeah, but if he gets to the Edward fucking Roslyn...
Well, he has to smile at that.
That was...
He's got a smile there. Oh, God. So check out the shirts. Why don't you pick up a book? Nobody's buying books for Christmas. I find that shocking. I've sold less books this month than I probably ever have, and I would think that Christmas would be like a big book time. Not. And,
I already bought mine.
Yeah, like the first day.
Right.
And, what else is going on?
Happy New Year, Charlie Brown.
Hey!
Catch you on the flip side.
All right. If you're in the, if you have a subscription to the Vault, or if you've donated this month, or if you'd like to, check out vault.hijinksandsue.com. That's where I'll be posting the post show for this episode, where I guess we're going to talk about other people's arbitrary list of what was best of the last decade or possibly this year. Who knows? And you can get that by making a one-time donation of any amount and get access for a month or a donation subscription, which helps me put food in my tiny baby's mouth so they feed her in cash.
Will eventually become a large baby.
She's large now. She's almost three.
It's not a tiny baby.
Actually, I don't know. I feel like there's more sympathy if she's tiny and starving. She's actually quite healthy and large. Also got her last medical bill for her ER visit. It was $3,000. So like all the money I made from the Team Edward shirts pretty much go to that now. I'm kind of sad about that. Anyway, let's end the year on that note. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. And for everyone that is in the chat room, this one's for you.
Wait, are we wrapping it up?
Did you change songs?
What?
Fail.
That was horrible.
Hot dog.